Thanks to LinkedIn for supporting the Productivity Show. LinkedIn Jobs matches people to your role based on more of who they really are, their skills, interests, even how open they are to new opportunities. For $50 off your first job post, go to linkedin.com/TPS. That's linkedin.com/TPS. Terms and conditions apply. This episode of the Productivity Show is also brought to you by Simple Contacts, an easy and convenient way to renew your contacts lens prescription or reorder your contacts from anywhere within minutes. Get $20 off your first Simple Contacts order by visiting simplecontacts.com/TPS and entering promo code TPS. Welcome to the Productivity Show, the Asian efficiency podcast dedicated to helping you make the most of your time, energy, and attention. Today, we're continuing our exploration of the T framework in the three pillars of productivity with pillar number two, energy. We'll be sharing our own struggles with energy and how we overcame them to be productive. We explain the three key areas to keep an eye on when it comes to managing your energy. And we share simple strategies to help you create more energy so you can take action on the things that are important to you, achieve your goals faster, and reach your full potential. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/220. And now, on with the show. Hey everyone, this is Mike Schmitz, and with me today to talk about the second pillar of productivity as we continue our discussion of the T framework is Tan Pham. How are you doing today, Tan?
Hey Mike, it's always good to be on the podcast. How are you today?
Very good, very good. This is the third now podcast that we've recorded video-wise, which is a lot of fun. It's a little bit different though, seeing your face as we record this as opposed to just talking into the microphone.
I know. I actually have to get dressed up though and actually be prepared and look presentable as we record now.
Yep. You're shaved this time and everything. So we are ready to go. It's great to catch up a little bit with some of the dojo members before we recorded this, talking to Phil. I know you got to jump off, Phil, as we're recording this, but glad to have you back here and Clayton. And everybody else who maybe is just too shy to show their face. These are always a lot more fun when the dojo members join us. So we are excited to have you all on here today as we talk about energy. Now, like I said, this is the second pillar of productivity, the second part of the T framework. We've been talking about this the last couple of weeks. So if you need an introduction to the T framework, go back and listen to episode 218. And then the idea behind the T framework as we get into this, there are three different areas that most productivity problems can be compartmentalized into: time, energy, and attention. Brooks and I talked about time in the last episode, TPS 219. So this time we are going to dive deep on the topic of energy.
What a lot of people don't realize is energy is one of the important currencies when it comes to productivity. A lot of people, when you read a productivity blog, you read a quote-unquote time management blog, they talk about time, and time is the most obvious currency that we all want more of, right? Just like money, we want more time as well. But a lot of people miss the point of energy. And energy is so important that we made it part of our T framework because it's something that a lot of people don't talk about, but they kind of know is important. And when it comes to energy, it's really about how do you manage and increase your energy so that you can overcome procrastination and achieve your goals with consistent action. And I like the word that you use, Mike, when you published the blog post on the T framework. How would you describe a person who doesn't have energy?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. I think I said exhausted. I created these little graphics that kind of talked about when you have two of these things, but you're missing one of them, this is the way that you feel. And the one where you don't have energy, that was exhausted.
Yeah. So if you have time and if you have the attention or the level of focus, but you don't have the energy, then what you described, Mike, is exhausted. And I think that's a great word to summarize what somebody is like and what they feel when they don't have any energy, right? So you can have all the tools in the world. You can be a GTD master. You can have all the systems in place. But if you don't have any energy, there's just simply no way for you to get things done. So the analogy I always like to use is you can have a beautiful sports car in your garage. You could have a nice red Ferrari sitting there all gassed up. But if you are too tired to drive or you don't have the energy to do it, there's nothing you can do. That car is just going to stay in your garage and not do anything, right? So you can have all the driving skills, you can have the amazing car, but if you as a person can't drive the car because you're too tired, there's just simply nothing that will get done. You won't get to your destination. You can't pick up the groceries. You can't do all these things because you're too tired, right? And it's the same thing on day-to-day basis, where if you don't have the energy to show up for work, to do the things you need to do, take action, or like do stuff after work to work on your personal stuff or your personal goals, then there's just nothing that's going to move forward. So energy is super, super important. And that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, unless you trade in the Ferrari for a Tesla and then it can use autopilot to take you wherever you need to go. But assuming that you haven't cracked the biological code and you're not living your life on autopilot, yeah, you definitely need energy. That's the gas in your tank, like you said, which is going to propel you and create the motion that you need to create your goals. So it can be really frustrating when you have the time to work on something, you know exactly what you need to do, but you are just too exhausted to do it. Can't follow through, and you succumb to, you used the word procrastination earlier, and I like that word. I think that's a buzzword in the productivity space, and I think that this is the area that it mostly applies. You could probably apply it to the other areas as well, like time or attention, but I'm curious, Tan, your opinion. Would you say that it is fair to classify procrastination as an energy problem?
Yes, most clients that I've worked with, especially the ones that deal with procrastination, they usually suffer from lack of energy. And it's really funny whenever I talk to them or see their faces, and they come to me and they say, "Hey, Tian, you know, I have troubles getting things done and doing all these things." And oftentimes they don't use the word procrastination. That's one of the most fascinating insights I've found from running Asian Efficiency for so long, is when I do these interviews and work with clients, they'll say things like, "Oh, you know, I do things at the last minute," or "I just wait until it needs to be done," or "I know I should be doing this, but I'm not.
I'm deadline driven."
Yeah, exactly. And oftentimes it's a energy thing. And so when I tell them like, "Okay, I want you to sleep more. I want you to go to bed earlier. I want you to stop eating like this many carbs or this kind of meal after lunch," they go, "Tian, how does this help me procrastinate less? Like, I don't get it." But they usually do it anyway after I tell them. And then they see a huge bump in their productivity. And it was just, even though they had the same tools, the same email app or task manager or calendar or workflow that they had, just by having more energy, they were able to accomplish more things. And a personal example of mine is, whenever I look at the T framework, if you have the time and attention but no energy, again, you cannot move stuff forward even though you know you have to do it and you have all the time in the world to do it, right? So as an example, this was like maybe 2 years ago. I remember laying in bed and I knew I had to do my taxes, right? So it was like a Saturday or Sunday morning. I was laying there and I had a whole day blocked off to go over my paperwork. I prepared the financial statements, go over some stuff. And I had a whole day on my calendar blocked off, right? So I knew this is the day to do that sort of stuff. So I was laying in bed. I knew I had the time for it. I knew that I needed to do it, but I didn't do it, right? So I had no energy. I was just too tired. I was too lazy. I was just not doing it. And that held me back, right? So it's not a time problem that most people think that they have. It wasn't because I didn't have the time. I had a whole day scheduled for it. It wasn't like I didn't know about it. I knew exactly what I needed to do. And I knew all the steps that I needed to do to take action. But I still didn't do it because I didn't have the energy. So that's just something so personal for me, that I've seen this happen in many cases of my life. And whenever I see that happen, I know it's like, okay, out of the T framework, which of the currencies do I need to focus on? Which is one, and which of the three is lacking? And if I know it's energy, then I know I can take appropriate action and do these things, which we'll talk about today, to kind of like push me forward.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really the idea behind the T framework. And for the person who is really resonating with this episode on energy, maybe the previous episode on time wasn't the thing for you. And that's probably pretty natural, because the productivity problems, the obstacles that stand in people's ways, usually they fall into one of these areas. And a lot of times, like you were kind of referencing, Tan, people have some of this stuff figured out, but there's one thing that's kind of keeping them back from creating the momentum that they need to create their ideal future and achieve their goals. And so if you can pinpoint that one thing where if you fix this thing, it's kind of like the bottleneck. And if you solve that one issue, then everything starts flowing again. That's really the ideal scenario and what we're trying to solve here. I've got my own version of energy problems that I deal with pretty much on a yearly basis because as we're recording this, it is fall in Wisconsin, which means that cold and flu season is starting, and I've got 5 kids at home. When you have kids who are sick, you don't sleep well as a parent. And it's hard to tell a sick kid, you know, just quit freaking out. It's not that big a deal. Like, all you can really do is try to make them feel better. So when you've got kids in the middle of the night, they wake up, they don't feel good, and they just went from 0 to 100, like, you're already up. You got to try to comfort them. You got to try to help them through the situation. But just because your kid is sick doesn't mean that you get to call in sick to work tomorrow. So you don't get enough sleep. Obviously, that's going to be difficult for you then when it is time to sit down and work because you've got no energy. You are up all night with your sick kids, maybe. And when you've got 5 kids like me, typically it goes from one to the next to the next to the next. So this is an exponential problem the longer that it goes. And there's different things that you can do to hit the reset button in the middle of the day. There's other things you can do, which, I mean, you know that this stuff is going to happen. So really the takeaway for me, the way to solve, quote unquote, solve this is to recognize that this is the time when that can happen. So I need to be on my guard. I need to be extra diligent that I'm checking all the other boxes and everything else is in order so that when I do sit down to work, I have as much energy as possible. Maybe it's not at 100% because I was up late night the night before. I can't really control that, but control the things that I can control so that I have the most energy that I can have at that particular moment to devote to the stuff that's important.
Yeah, other examples that you might think of a person not having energy is, like, there are a couple signs that you can look for. One is, let's say you work on a team, or maybe you're the owner of the company, or you manage a bunch of people, and you have like a star player or like an A player in your team, and all of a sudden that person is just not reliable anymore. You're not able to count on that person anymore. Even though that person has always been super consistent, has done all the things that they needed to do, they have all the tools and access to everything that they need, but they still don't get it done. What might be the problem? Well, it could be an energy thing. Maybe there's something there, like you said, Mike, maybe they're sick, or maybe they're just not motivated, or maybe they're not sleeping well. Like, there's probably an energy problem there. So you can kind of zoom in on that and see if there's anything there to fix or to address. Another example might be is somebody you know who used to be always successful and succeeded at everything that they did, and all of a sudden they didn't. There's probably an energy problem there as well. Or the person that, you know, doesn't really know how to ask for help. And so they oftentimes like are on their own, and they, when they are not being a team player and they kind of do things on their own and kind of like shy away from everybody, even though they have all the time in the world to do the things and they know they need to do sometimes, they know what they need to do, but sometimes they can't deliver. Again, it might be an energy problem as well. So the T frameworks is super useful to kind of diagnose where somebody might be underperforming and what you can do to address that.
Yeah. And if you're trying to decide if this is the thing that you deal with, like we talked about, the adjective to describe the person who has time and attention but no energy is exhausted. But also, you might find yourself falling into this bucket if you say things like, I know I should be doing X, fill in the blank with the important task, but you don't do it. Okay. So if you know you should be doing something, but you just can't do it, and you're constantly finding these creative ways to procrastinate, even though in the back of your head, you know, this is the thing that I need to be doing right now, but you still don't do it, like your tax example earlier, Tan, then this might be the thing for you. Thanks to LinkedIn for supporting the Productivity Show. When it comes to running your business, the right people are critical if you want to be successful. But where do you find that one person who's a perfect fit for your company? You could try traditional methods like posting on job boards, but how can you really be sure the person you want even sees your job? Fortunately, there's a better option available. Find the right person who will fit your business and help it grow with LinkedIn. As the world's largest professional network, people go to LinkedIn every single day to grow professionally and discover new job opportunities. In fact, 70% of the U.S. workforce is already on LinkedIn, so there is no better way to get your job listing in front of the right person than with a LinkedIn Jobs listing. LinkedIn Jobs matches potential candidates to the real requirements of your role based on more of who they really are, their skills, interests, even how open they are to new opportunities. This makes sure that your job gets seen by the right people, increasing the likelihood of hiring the right person, even if your ideal candidate isn't actively looking for another job right now. In fact, most LinkedIn members haven't recently visited the top job boards, but 9 out of 10 members still say they are open to new opportunities. So if you're looking for a way to reach people like this who can help take your organization to the next level, the only way to reach them is on LinkedIn. It's the reason a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn, and businesses rate LinkedIn 40% higher than job boards at delivering quality candidates. If you're looking to fill an open position but can't afford to waste time and money hiring the wrong person, go to linkedin.com/TPS and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/TPS to get $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/TPS. Terms and conditions apply. Our thanks to LinkedIn for supporting the Productivity Show.
So, Mike, if you did have more energy, what would you usually see in terms of your output, your lifestyle, your productivity? Like, what are some of the signs that you would see in somebody?
Yeah, well, the number one thing I think you would see is that you would procrastinate less. Now, there are a lot of other things that can contribute to procrastination. So I do want to clarify that when we say procrastination is an energy problem, that is generally an energy problem. Maybe there are other things that are stealing your attention, which we'll talk about in the next episode. And that's your version of procrastination. But if you find yourself finding, like I said, finding new ways to procrastinate all the time, that is definitely an energy problem because you just can't stand the thought of putting forth this monumental effort that you think it's going to take to do this thing that you need to do. When people do follow through and they overcome that procrastination, because most of the time, like I said, it's an energy problem. If you've got enough energy that you apply it and you use a support, like we've talked about the Pomodoro technique or Eat That Frog, those sorts of things. When you start doing the things that are important, oftentimes you find out that it doesn't take as much energy as you initially thought, but the thought of it is the thing that kind of exhausts you. So when you procrastinate less, when you start to take more consistent action, even if it's in small bite-sized chunks, you typically achieve your goals and you get stuff done. You show up consistently. You wake up feeling ready to win the day. And I can't overemphasize the importance of that. You know, we recorded an episode not too long ago, Tan, about sleep. And I've been digging into this topic as I've been working on this dojo course that we're developing. And we'll talk a little bit more about sleep even later on in this episode. But this is so important, how you wake up. You got to put yourself in the best possible position to, like you said in the show notes, win the day.
Other signs that I always see in people is that they feel really motivated. Motivated is oftentimes a form of excess energy in a way. And now people can rely on you because you're showing up more often. You can actually do the things you want to do. So energy is such a huge component to productivity. And I think one of the areas that is under talked about, we should definitely emphasize this more. And this is why I'm so excited to record this today, because once you see that this is one of your quote unquote problem areas and you start to address certain things, you'll start to see a huge increase in productivity. And it wasn't because you changed the app. It wasn't because you use a new workflow or tool. It's simply because you just have more energy inside of you to now do the things you need to do or want to do.
Yep, exactly. So do you have any specific examples of how this fit for you?
Yeah, this was many, many years ago, but I was at a point where I kind of had the basics down, meaning when people come to Agent Efficiency, oftentimes the number one thing that they look for is more time, right? Most people that come to us say, hey, you know, I wish I had more hours in the day. I wish I was able to do X, Y, and Z, but I just don't have the time to do it. And as we talked about on the T framework episode, that's usually the starting point for most people, right? Then as you kind of like nail down your task management, you kind of nail down your email flow, you kind of nail down your calendar. Like those are the three main components that I think everybody needs, like of every productivity system. Then usually the next jump that people are going to make is really managing their energy. So it's really about sleeping better, building their rituals, having intrinsic motivation. Like those three things, if you nail those down, you'll see, again, a huge increase in productivity. And that was the case for me because I had the basics down, but I was still oftentimes not showing up for the things I know I needed to do, or I know I should be doing this, but I wasn't. And it was either because I wasn't sleeping enough, or I just didn't have the right rituals in place to kind of like put myself in a position to do the things I needed to do. So these are some of the things that kind of inspired some of the other courses that we have nowadays about sleep and rituals and all these other programs that kind of led to that breakthrough that I, you know, wanted to share with others.
Yeah, I think that there's probably a good portion of our audience, and it's interesting because we sent out a survey not too long ago about which area people had the most problems with. But I think that there's a lot of people who, whether they realize it or not, they fall into that category that you just mentioned, especially people who maybe listen to this show. They know some of the basics. And I think in the productivity space specifically, there's a lot of discussion about like time management. Okay, so you implement a couple things in the area of time management. That is probably now no longer your biggest problem. Now it's probably, I would argue, energy. And I think that if people can be honest with themselves and identify this as the thing that's going to hold them back and then understand the mechanics here and figure out how to fix this, this is the thing that unblocks a lot of people's full potential. Now, for me, this has always been a big topic. I shared in episode 214, I won't go through the whole story here, how sleep is really important to me because I was diagnosed with epilepsy when I was 18. And when I first started taking medication, they prescribed too much. I was taking enough for a 300-pound woman, and the medication made you drowsy. So I was a small soccer player. I weighed 135 at the time. So I ended up sleeping 12 hours a day and was still exhausted. Now, over the years, obviously, the medication got dialed in, but I still need to make the most of my sleep to minimize the impact that that has on my daily life. So one of the things that one of the first products I bought from Asian Deficiency, actually, it was the first product, was Better Sleep. And that was kind of revolutionary for me because it distilled a lot of the science and a lot of the information down into an approachable format that even somebody like me could could apply to their own life. So I started changing the way that I slept. I saw my energy levels go up, and I was pretty happy and impressed with the amount of energy that I had and what I was able to get done. So I was like, I just gotta keep going.
So let's talk about the three main components that make up energy in the T framework. So we talked about energy now up to this point. You get why it's so important. It might be the missing piece for you. And if we break it down even further, I would say there's three main components to energy. One is sleep, which we've talked about just now. The second one is rituals. So having something that gives you and saves you energy to make progress. And then motivation, which is really about feeling energized. And so we're going to dive into each component into more detail here today. And we have some other episodes as well that goes into even more detail. And we have dojo courses around these as well that you can find inside the dojo. So if you want to get more information and actual insights, make sure to check those out. But we want to make sure we give you a brief overview of all these different things that you can do. And it's, of course, it's going to be actionable as well. So Mike, let's talk about sleep. I know you're the quote unquote sleep expert now, having gone through Better Sleep. And also I know it's one of the things you always focus on as well, but so do I. But tell us a little bit about sleep.
Yeah. So if you want to dive deep on this, I can't recommend enough episode 214, where we got into all the science and all that. But the basic version of this, the condensed version for this episode, is that the more you sleep, the more energy you have. A lot of people don't get enough sleep and they don't even realize how productive they can be because they don't understand how limited they are by the lack of sleep. This is kind of a force multiplier for your productivity. And I also would say that there's a disproportionate percentage of people in the population who think that they don't need as much sleep as they really do. the science behind this, if you dig into it, one good resource is The Sleep Revolution by Arianna Huffington, where she gets into a lot of the science. It's a pretty big book, and she has some exact numbers. But it's a very small percentage of the population that actually can function well on less sleep, but it's over the majority of people think that they fall into that smaller category. And so what happens is that there's a bunch of people who are walking around who are sleep deprived, and it's pretty scary when you think about all of the people who, like, their rational decision making, their reaction time, all of that is slowed way down, which, again, we talked about that in episode 214. But you think about, like, all the people who are driving on the roadways, you know, who aren't functioning at peak capacity because they are sleep deprived. Like, that's a scary thought. But it applies even if you don't drive. It applies to what you're able to get done as well. Like, you can significantly decrease your effect, how much you can get done, your production, if you're not getting enough sleep.
As I said before, one of the first things I always do when I work with people is look at their sleep hygiene and look at their sleep patterns, because it's one of the easiest things you can fix and address that also gives you a huge benefit. So like you said, Mike, it's a huge force multiplier. Charles Duhigg in The Power of Habit, he talks about a keystone habit, and he talks about how exercise is super important and how it usually drives people to do other things better, more efficiently, and adopt new habits. And in my opinion, sleep is one of those keystone habits where if you nail down sleep, you'll wake up refreshed, you'll feel better, you'll be in a better mood. Like we talked about before, you start to procrastinate less, you'll show up more often for the things you need to do, you can actually do the things you want to do. So it's one of those keystone habits that I think you should really look into if you haven't done so already.
Yep. And there's not, and this is one of the things that's simple, but not easy. So how do you get more sleep? The number one thing you can do is go to bed earlier, which is hard for us to do in our always on society because of a couple different things. Number one, I would say is FOMO, the notifications, the distractions. I mean, if you find yourself just sitting on the couch, endlessly scrolling through your social media because you want to get caught up on things, that's for me anyways, like that's something that can very easily contribute to me not going to bed at the time that I should be going to bed. Also compounded with that maybe even is the blue light that's emitted from our electronic screens. That causes your body to stop producing the melatonin that it needs to transition into sleep. And so what happens is if you are staring at a computer screen or even your smartphone, your body's not producing the melatonin because that blue light makes your body think that it's not as late as it really is. So if you're staring at your screen until 11 o'clock and then you're like, oh man, I should have gone to bed an hour ago, you're not going to bed anytime soon because your body's got to transition into that state.
Yes, I usually recommend that most people stop using any form of electronic about 90 minutes before going to bed. So if you're planning to be in bed by, say, 10 o'clock, you want to stop using any sort of electronic by, let's say, 8:30. So it means no iPhone, no iPad, no TV, just nothing like that. And just do your evening ritual if you have one. If you don't have one already, we'd highly recommend you implement one. We have free resources on that on the podcast and on the blog as well that we'll link to in the show notes. But definitely start implementing an evening ritual, which is really just a simple step-by-step process you go through every single night to kind of get your body relaxed, to kind of get your mind cleared so that you can go to bed in an optimal state and just get a really good night's rest.
Yeah, just a sneak preview of the sleep course that I mentioned that I'm working on for the dojo. There's a video in there where we've got several strategies that we give people so that they can transition to sleep more quickly and wake up more rested. And the strategies kind of fall down into three different categories: preparation, planning, and execution. And for the evening ritual specifically, this is definitely a planning problem where people, if they don't have an evening ritual, it's simply the fact that they haven't thought about this ahead of time. So even just recognizing that I'm going to have to go to bed by this time and then figuring out what are the things that you need to do for the hour or even 30 minutes before that, which are going to get you ready to go to bed. Like, that's really, really valuable. And it doesn't have to be complex. I mean, you could make it as crazy as you want. You could set your hue lights so that they dim at 9 o'clock. Or you could just, you know, before you go to bed, you could set out your clothes that you're going to wear the next day. You could journal. So you're emptying your head. You don't have to think about these things that happen during the day. So you're not going to be laying in bed. Oh, I should do something with this little bit of information. You know, you've kind of downloaded all that stuff. It gives your brain permission to disconnect. That evening ritual, this is really a key piece that I think a lot of people overlook. They just think, well, I'll just keep going. And by the time, you know, 10 o'clock rolls around, I'm going to be tired enough. I'll just go to bed. You know, I'll fall asleep as soon as my head hits the pillow, but that's not the way it works.
I completely agree. And I'm glad you brought up the planning part, because that is the missing key for most people. Is oftentimes we know what we need to do, but we don't do it. Again, it could be an energy thing. It could be something else. But in this case, it could be a planning problem as well, right? So I'm glad you brought that up. The other thing I want to bring up here before we move on to rituals, it's the whole idea of napping. And napping is a light form of sleep, right? We usually don't want to nap for extended periods of time. I usually only nap about 20, 25 minutes a day to kind of help me reset. Now, I will also say I have a very flexible schedule. I work from home. I can nap whenever I want to for the most part. And that allows me to kind of like reset myself and also give me a quick energy boost. Now, if I had a terrible night of sleep, then I'll usually nap for quote unquote 90 minutes, which is usually considered one sleep cycle. So that allows me to get some recovery in, sleep, get well rested. And then usually by the time I wake up from a 90 minute nap, I feel like it's a brand new day. It's such an interesting feeling. But if you are somebody who didn't sleep well, you know that when you wake up, you feel groggy, you don't feel so energized, and you're probably less productive. You start to crave more sugars. You start to want to eat more bad food. And so, you know, like I said, energy sleeping is one of those keystone habits, and napping is kind of a tool, I would say, to kind of like get some extra juice out of your body and focus if you want to. Now, I know for a lot of people who are listening, you might be saying, well, Tian, I work in a corporate office. Like, how do I get a nap in? There's a lot of creative ways to do this. I remember when I had my job in LA, I used to nap in my car. I didn't do this every day, but every time I had an opportunity to do so, we would have like a break. And because I didn't have my own office yet, I didn't want to be that person who was like laying in my chair or laying on my desk and everybody's like, what the hell is Tan doing? He's not working. He's like, I'm productive. So I went to my car. So instead of having lunch, I would then just go to my car and then take a quick nap, like 15, 20 minutes. That's all I could do because I also need to have lunch and stuff like that. But that was good enough for me to feel well rested. And so I usually recommend that people don't take more than 25 minutes of a nap. And again, episode 214 is all about sleep. So definitely reference that. And if you want to get more detailed, join the dojo for the sleep course. But like I said, if you have a private office, then you have even more flexibility because then you can just close the door, put up a hanger that says like, do not disturb me for the next 30 minutes or something. And then just take a nap in your chair. Like you can get creative if you want to.
Yeah. I remember Joe Bulik telling me he used to do the same thing when he worked an office job. He would go take a nap in his car.
Yeah, more and more people are doing this. So don't be ashamed if you are.
Yeah, I remember when he told me that the first time, I was like, what? Nobody does that. But he just admitted that you do it too, or you did it too. So I think I want to call that out because I think maybe people hear that story and they're like, well, that's kind of crazy. Like, I wouldn't be able to do that. Maybe you could, you know? I think that if you're aware of the resources that you have available to you, then if you think that this is something that's important and you really want to figure out a way to make this work, you can do it, you know, regardless of whether you work from home or you work in a corporate situation. I mean, there's a couple people now who we've shared on this podcast who had everything working against them and they still found a way to take a 20-minute nap. So, social proof. This episode of the Productivity Show is brought to you by Simple Contacts, a service that allows you to renew your contact lens prescription from anywhere. If you find yourself dreading that annual appointment to renew your contact lens prescription, you're not alone. Thankfully, there's Simple Contacts, a great new app I know you efficiency-loving productivity nerds are going to love because it makes the time-consuming prescription renewal process so simple and easy. With Simple Contacts, you can renew your prescription and reorder your brand of lenses from anywhere in minutes. Simple Contacts saves you the hassle by bringing the doctor's office to your home. Their online vision test is designed by doctors, and every test is carefully reviewed by a licensed ophthalmologist to make sure your eyes look healthy and that your vision hasn't changed. Simple Contacts also offers an amazing selection with every brand of lenses you might be looking for, and their prices are hard to beat. The eye exam is just $20, and they offer free shipping with your order. Now, disclaimer, the Simple Contacts vision test is not a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. They only test that your current prescription still helps you see 20/20, and if it's good to go, they let you renew your prescription quick and easy. They don't write completely new prescriptions or examine eye health. As great as technology is, there's still a couple of things that it can't do. But if you're looking for a quick, easy, efficient way to renew your contact lens prescription, and you hate the idea of scheduling an appointment, Simple Contacts can help you skip the office visit, but not the care. In fact, you'll spend less time taking the vision test than you would sitting in the waiting room because it's self-guided and takes less than 5 minutes to complete. Save time and money the next time you need to order replacement lenses with Simple Contacts. The Contacts lens prices are unbeatable, standard shipping is free, and best of all, they're offering a special promotion to listeners of this show. You can save $20 on your first Simple Contacts order by going to simplecontacts.com/TPS and entering the code TPS at checkout. That's $20 off your first Simple Contacts order when you go to simplecontacts.com/TPS and enter the promo code TPS at checkout. Our thanks to Simple Contacts for supporting the Productivity Show. All right, the next one is rituals.
So rituals is all about getting yourself energized and saving energy. So the way I think about rituals is that you can do things every single day to give yourself more energy. So for example, having a good morning ritual will allow you to start the day on a high note, make you feel great. You can add some meditation in there. You can jump up and down. You can exercise on a regular basis and give yourself more energy over time. Like, there's certain rituals you can incorporate into your life that will give you more energy. So those are generally things that you should always want to incorporate, right? Then there are also rituals where you can save a lot of energy. So what are some of the things you can do there to, over time, save yourself from being frantic, feeling overcommitted? Like, what are some of the rituals that you can do to save yourself energy, right? So for example, what if you start documenting more stuff? What if you do a weekly review so that you're on top of things so you don't waste like all these thoughts about, oh, what should I do now? What am I missing? Like, why are you stressed out about all these different things if you just added a ritual of like reviewing something every single day or every single week? So rituals is really about what can you do to give yourself energy and what are some of the things you can do to save yourself from wasting energy?
Yeah. And rituals is our term that we use, but you could also, not exactly the same thing, but a lot of people might call these habits. Okay. Same principle. These habits or these rituals, these are things that you can leverage your body's efficiency mechanism to make the things that you really want to do easier to do because you lower the activation energy that's required in order to do something when you do make it a habit. And I think that, you know, there are podcast episodes that we've recorded about how rituals are kind of like habits 2.0 and all the reasons why they're better than what most people think of as habits. But I also want to point out that a lot of us have habits, whether we recognize that we have them or not. So maybe you could say we have rituals, whether we recognize them or not. But I would argue a ritual is more intentional than a habit. You can build bad habits and you maybe don't even realize it. Maybe you have a habit of coming home from work and you're exhausted, so you sit on the couch and you watch Netflix for 3 hours. Okay, that's a bad habit. And some people, you know, would argue that I want to break that. So one thing that I picked up from The Happiness Advantage by Sean Acor is that you can increase the energy required to do this negative thing, or you can decrease the amount of energy that it takes to do a positive thing. So one thing that Sean did is he took the batteries out of his TV remote because he wanted to break this habit of sitting down to watch Netflix for 3 hours when he got home. That 20 seconds that it would take him when he sat down to turn the TV on and recognizing that the batteries weren't there to go get the batteries and put them back into the remote, that was enough friction for him to say, forget it, I'm going to do something else instead. He said that by adding 20 seconds, he saved himself 3 hours a day.
That is a great time investment right there.
Yeah, exactly. So it's an intentional application to kind of change the way that the systems are now to create the systems that you want. And another person who did a great job of explaining this is James Clear in his book Atomic Habits, which as we're recording this, the episode that I recorded with him isn't quite out yet, but he gave me a pre-release version of that book. We recorded that a couple weeks ago, and that is an incredible book. In my opinion, it takes the model that Duhigg talks about in The Power of Habit, and it fills in all of the gaps. So if you really want to understand, you know, James has got four laws for establishing these habits, and you can kind of flip them around and you can apply them in reverse if you wanted to make like bad habits harder to do. That would be a great resource. We've also got a flagship course on the rituals, which kind of lays out exactly what you should be doing if you want to, for example, create a morning ritual that puts you in a great place to be productive. It gives you, these are the things that you should include in your morning ritual and things like that.
Yes. So what are some of the things that you can do to increase your energy, right? So we've talked about a morning ritual, super, super easy to do. One of the things that we're known for, we actually have a product about it as well called the Morning Ritual Starter Kit that will show you step-by-step how to implement a 7-step process for getting your mornings activated and ready to go. You can do regular exercise, right? So over time, increase your stamina. We can meditate. So these are some of the things that you can do to increase your energy over time. And so whatever you can identify as a ritual that will allow you to give more energy, do more of that, right? And or like you said, Mike, if there's certain habits or rituals that you have that distract you or waste energy, well, get rid of those, right? So I want to focus more on the things that you can add and incorporate, because oftentimes we know all the bad habits, but yep, incorporating some of the stuff is usually more of a challenge for most people. But then there's also a lot of things you can do to save energy. So for example, one of the simple tactics and strategies that you can implement is batching stuff together, right? So that's why we have meeting day, where we have all of our meetings on one day. So instead of doing it spread out throughout the whole week, we have it on one day so we can be more efficient, save energy that day, and then also be more productive and focus on the other days, right? So that's more of a, like a quote unquote business ritual, but you can apply the same idea to whatever things you're doing. So if you're running errands, for example, instead of doing them Monday, Tuesday, and then Friday, you could say, okay, I'm going to dedicate a whole afternoon or a whole day to doing just that. So you're going to be more efficient and save time and energy there. And what are some other things you can do is like using checklists. So this is more about documentation. So for example, every time I'm traveling, I have a very simple checklist that I just follow. So I know what to pack, what to bring, what not to bring. And I feel good about myself. I'm not wasting time searching for stuff or wasting energy finding things or stressing about certain things. And one of the things we didn't talk about enough is just the whole idea of stress. Mm-hmm. The more stressed you are, the more energy you waste. Whether that's thoughts you're thinking, literally like the chemicals in your body changing. There's all this like bioprocesses going on of you robbing yourself of energy when you're stressed, right? And by having certain rituals in place, you can eliminate a lot of that. Like exercise removes a lot of stress. Journaling removes a lot of stress. Meditation does, right? So the more we remove that, the better we get in terms of like what we want to do because we have more energy.
Yep. I'm glad you called out journaling. I think that that's a big one. Another thing regarding the, maybe not stress, but the decision fatigue. You know, we recorded an episode on decision fatigue. And the thing that I recall from that episode was that the average person makes 35,000 decisions a day, which is crazy to think about. I mean, no wonder by the time you get home from work, you're exhausted. So how can you eliminate some of those decisions? Well, if you're thinking about the next day, there are things that you can do as part of your evening routine to set yourself up for the next day to eliminate a lot of those decisions. A lot of famous people, Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg, for example, they kind of famously, I don't know how true these stories are, but you hear about how like they always wore, like Steve Jobs wore the same black turtleneck and blue jeans every single day. So he never had to think about what clothes he was going to wear. Well, if you think that's ridiculous, maybe just pick out your clothes the night before, or think about what are you going to eat for lunch the next day and prep that meal the night before. There's a lot of things that you can do to make tomorrow a lot easier. And when you create a ritual out of it, it the more that you do it, the easier and easier it gets.
Yeah, so planning is a huge, not only time saver, but also an energy saver as well, right? So the food thing is major because, one, we do it every single day. We need to eat every single day, sometimes multiple times a day. And if you have to think about every single day what you're going to be eating, researching on Yelp, where you're going to go to, you're literally just wasting a lot of time. And I never thought of how much time and energy it took until I started delegating it to my assistant. And that's when I realized, oh, wow, there's actually a lot of time and energy that goes into this, more than you think it does. So there's a lot of time you can save there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've just recently, I had to take my car into the shop and it's an older car. So I need to do a bunch of work to it more than it's worth, pretty much. And so I've been looking for a new vehicle, and doing the research for that new vehicle sounds lame, but it's been exhausting trying to figure out, like, well, what kind of car should I get? What make do I want? What model? What year? How many miles do I want on it? What options do I want on it? All that type of stuff. I'm to the point now where it's just been like the weekend, but I'm just like, I don't care. Just give me a vehicle that gets me from point A to point B. I don't want to think about this anymore.
So let's talk about motivation, Mike, because obviously it's something that's really important, not often talked about as well. Some people consider it kind of like woo-woo, like there's just like something about motivation, but really not. Like, what's your take on motivation?
Well, I think motivation is very important, and there's definitely things that you can do to maintain motivation. I recorded an episode, I think it was with Brooks, where I talked about how I think motivation is actually more important than willpower. A lot of people think, like, oh, if I show up every day and I have the willpower to do these things over and over and over again, then eventually I'm going to get where I want to go. But as we deconstructed in that episode, what willpower does is eventually you get to a point where you don't have enough willpower, whereas motivation can kind of be replenished. You can, in a moment, all of a sudden have the motivation to do something. So I may not have the willpower to do something, but the circumstances can change in a moment where my kids are in danger, for example. All of a sudden, I'm motivated and I magically found the willpower, you know, to do the thing that I wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. So that motivation, really, that's feeling energized. And how do you maintain this? I mean, there's lots of different strategies here. I mean, you can sleep well, you can have the right rituals, but if you find yourself lacking this motivation, you're still not going to be able to accomplish things. So how can you kind of manufacture that? One of the big things I think that is helpful for this in my own life is core values. So we recorded an episode on the Asian efficiency core values. I've talked about how the top two in particular, glow green and pull others up, I really resonate with those. And I've kind of applied that into my quote unquote life theme. You know, everything that I do that is in line with like my core purpose, why I consider I am here on this earth, the mission, that my unique ability, the things that I'm put here to do, you know, those core values are in line with that. And it makes it a lot easier for me to follow through and do the things like recording this podcast, for example, because I know that I'm helping people make the most of their time, their energy, and their attention. I'm helping people overcome the obstacles that are keeping them from reaching their full potential. And I want to encourage people that, like, hey, look, I did it, so can you. That's really important to me. So when I can tie that why behind the things that I do, there's kind of a natural motivation there. That would be the big thing I would say, is make sure that your why is connected to the tasks on your list. Because if you don't understand why you're doing those things, it's easy to say, well, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, I always like to think about it as connecting what's going on between the ears. That's how I look at motivation, where, like you said, Mike, you can have all the energy in the world. You could sleep really well. You can feel energized. You can eat the right things. But you could still feel unmotivated to do the things you need to do, right? So motivation, in a way, is kind of a currency that's really powerful, that if you can kind of like figure that part out, you have tremendous quote-unquote energy to do the things you need to do. But oftentimes we don't know how to kind of like manufacture it or create it. And I think for me personally, figuring out the why is the biggest driver for me. Aside from knowing what my values are and what my mission is and what my purpose is, the why behind every single project is something that I need to know in order for me to feel motivated, right? just like every single ritual that I implement in my life, I want to know what's the why behind that as well. And I think part of that is being a high fact finder, but also part of it is that if you can emotionally connect with what you're trying to achieve, you'll manufacture a lot of motivation that you otherwise didn't know you had, right? Oftentimes we find it in different ways. So for example, you know, I can imagine if your kiddo says, hey, I really want to do this. If you didn't have any motivation before, but all of a sudden your kiddo comes to you and says like, they want to accomplish this. I'm pretty sure as a parent, like you're going to feel motivated all of a sudden, even though like you had it all inside of you, but it wasn't like triggered or being brought up somehow, right?
Yep. Yeah, definitely. You know, it's, and it doesn't have to be just kids either. I mean, anybody in any sort of relationship recognizes that your motivations can change. What was important to you one day is now no longer important to you because this other thing is more important.
Yeah, so finding your why is super, super important. We talk about that in all of our programs. I'm pretty sure we have a podcast episode where we mentioned this multiple times. So we'll make sure to link to it. But reconnecting with your why, if you lost motivation, figure it out and you will get there. The other thing you can do, this is more of a physiological thing, is changing your state. So if I'm not feeling motivated, I play some of my favorite music. I have specific playlists in Spotify that will increase my energy and get me all pumped up and motivated. So those are some of the things that I like to do. Another easy fix is because I work from home, I kind of get sick and tired and unmotivated sometimes when I'm just at my desk the whole day. So what I do a lot is just go to different locations. So I'll go to the local library that's a couple blocks away. I'll go to the Starbucks, the other coffee shop that's around here. And just by changing my environment, I get this new sense of urgency, this new sense of energy to now do the things I need to do. Right. So in some of the courses, we mentioned like social energy and how that kind of helps you with that. But also, I think it's related to motivation as well, where if you just change your state by changing the location you go to, it can help dramatically increase your output. And I know, Mike, you had a ritual for a while where you went from place to place to place. You want to remind everybody of that story?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. When I first started working with Asian Efficiency, I didn't have an office and I had not found my co-working space yet. So I didn't have a place that I could go do consistent deep work for any length of time. Our house, I mean, Tan, you've been to my house, so it's kind of like all open. It's not great if you want to be able to cut out all the distractions. So what I ended up doing was leaving the house every day, going to a coffee shop, working there for a couple of hours, and then maybe going to the public library for a little bit, hitting another coffee shop in the afternoon. I had this little circuit that I would go through. And there were a couple of coffee shops in the area that, you know, back in the day, I put together a website form or whatever. So I had some free coffee coming my way, which made it more sustainable. But a lot of times what I found was that I would work for a while, I would hit a natural wall, and just getting in my car and driving to the next place was enough of a reset that by the time I got there, I was able to enter back in to work mode. So, and I'm not the only one who did this. Back in the day, there was a Cortex episode with Mike Hurley and CGP Gray. And he had his circuit where he would go to all these different places in London to do his work as he worked from an iPad. So there's creative ways that you can implement this, but just changing your physical location is definitely a good option. It doesn't have to be, you know, super expensive, you know, to go from coffee shop like I did. There are places that you can set up shop and work for a while.
Yeah, and it wasn't the coffee that was giving you the energy. It was the
exactly. Yeah, just changing the location.
So the last exercise I want to give you here to help you increase your motivation is a visualization exercise. So this is something that I'll use as a tool every now and then. I don't use it that often anymore, but I remember this was one of my go-to tools whenever I was not motivated and it was kind of like starting out Asian Efficiency and I kind of like was all over the place and scattered and I didn't have the team and the people in place now and I was just like all over the map and I wasn't motivated sometimes. So whenever I felt that way, I would pull out one of these tools here. So when it comes to visualization, I used to be the biggest like person against it because I thought it was just kind of woo-woo. And like I'm not the type of person who will use like manifestation and that kind of thing. But I do believe there's a lot of powerful science that backs this up. So the idea is really simple here. So the big concept here is people are either driven by moving away from pain or moving towards a pleasurable benefit, right? So when you think about visualization exercises, when it comes to motivation at least, is if you know you need to do something, there's two things you can do to visualize this. One is you can do a visualization where you'll think about all the negative consequences of you not taking action, right? So if we take the taxes example, I could do a visualization exercise and say, okay, if I don't do my taxes today, what are all the negative consequences that might happen? And I'm going to list them all. I could write them all down. I could visualize them. And if I do a really good job of really visualizing it and imagining myself in that situation, oftentimes I'll come to a resolution that says, okay, I really need to do this. Let's go ahead and do this, right? So if I think about not doing my taxes, I'm going to have to pay extra in fees. And if I'm low on money, that's going to be even worse, right? And then that's going to spiral in other negative thoughts. If I don't do it now, I'm going to have my accountants emailing me like every single day or calling me, texting me saying, hey, Tan, I need this from you. Please do this. Do I want that? Absolutely not, right? I won't be able to apply for a mortgage if I don't do my taxes properly. My credit score is probably going to be affected. Like there's all these different things, right, that would happen negatively to you. If you can drum those up, you'll start to see all of a sudden, okay, I don't want to be in that position. So let's go ahead and do that. And it sounds scary and it sounds quote unquote negative because in a way it is negative. But if you can use this as a tool, and again, it's a tool. It's not something I would recommend you do every single day because then you can kind of be a pessimist in a way. But again, if you can recognize it as a powerful tool that you can use, it's extremely, extremely beneficial, right? So that's one way of going about it.
Let me jump in here real quick because I think also it's important to call out that you can manufacture this. So I know people who have become morning people because they've scheduled tweets to go out early the next morning saying basically like, if I were to do this, Mike Schmitz is a lazy bum and didn't get up on time this morning. So they're motivated to get up before the tweet goes out and turn it off. And that's maybe a ridiculous example, but you can pull the right levers and you can create the results that you want.
Oh, that's funny. I can see it working if you have a big following. If you only have 5 people following you, it might be so effective. So going back to the other side of the visualization exercise is, like I said, another big driver is towards a pleasurable benefit. So what if you did a visualization exercise where you had the ideal outcome or the ideal day of what that looked like if you did X or if you did Y or Z or X, Y, and Z, right? So this is actually part of my morning ritual where as long as I know what my day looks like and I'm aware of what's on my calendar, what kind of time commitments I have, what are some of the tasks and outcomes that I need to hit today, once I have a clear idea of that and I know what my goals are, I'll just sit down before I start meditating and then do a visualization of what my ideal day would look like. So I know I'm going to be working out at this time. I'm going to be doing this task around that time. After lunch, I'm going to be doing that. I'm just imagining myself doing all these things. And then at the end of the day, going to bed knowing that I had a great day, right? So that's like a simple version of that. And if you can do that, and if you can visualize it, you'll oftentimes find the motivation to do everything you need to do. And what I've found from doing this, like literally at this point, thousands of times now, is that when you cannot visualize how you do something, that's a sign of a roadblock that you need to address, right? So for example, if you cannot visualize yourself writing a particular, let's say blog post, for example, guess what? If you can't visualize it, you can't execute on it in real life. So that's one of the patterns that I've noticed. And so if you start to visualize, you can't see yourself visualizing your way through it, That's a sign that you need to start addressing something there. There's a roadblock there somewhere. And so if you find yourself unmotivated, you know you need to be doing something, like really think about like, what does this thing that you need to do allow you to do? And again, it kind of goes back to reconnecting with your why. And what we're really looking for is like, what is the emotional connection here that ultimately ties into the benefit that we're looking for?
Yeah, and you can apply this visualization not just on your ideal day, but you can apply it on a larger scale. I think this is maybe not directly related to motivation as we're talking about it in the T framework, but one of the most powerful exercises that I've done is answer the question, where do you want to be in 5 years? What does your ideal day look like in 5 years? And if you can create that mental picture, that can create the motivation day to day to do the things that you know are going to get you to that place.
So with everything at Asian Efficiency, we always like to end with actionable takeaways. Everything that we produce, whether it's courses, blog posts, audio materials, everything is going to be actionable. So I want to make sure that you leave today with some actionable takeaways as well. I know we've shared hundreds of things today, but if we had to simplify it, Mike, what are some of the things that you would tell people to do?
Yeah, so let's just break this down maybe to three simple strategies that people can use to get more energy. And these, like you said, are three of many things that we've talked about today, but these are probably the ones that are going to make the biggest benefit for the people who are recognizing after listening to this that energy is the thing that's keeping them from reaching their full potential. Number one thing I would say, because sleep is an important topic for me, I would say no electronics 90 minutes before bed to improve your sleep quality so that you can go to bed earlier. Kind of related to that, you know, if you're not able to turn off your electronics, if you work late, maybe you could use something, we talk about this in episode 214, but something like Gunner glasses where it blocks the blue light, or use Flux on your computer to make it more of an orangish tint, something like that. Just recognizing that the blue light is going to impact your sleep quality and doing whatever you can to minimize it.
So the second thing here related to rituals is to implement a morning ritual. So it's one of the rituals that we always advocate you implement because it gives you a huge boost of energy in the morning. And the way you start the day sets the tone for the rest of the day. So if you can start your day on a high note, guess what? It's going to be a lot easier to go through your day and be extremely productive. So implement a morning ritual. We have tons of resources on it. One of our courses is called Morning Ritual Starter Kit that you can find as well to help you implement our exact step-by-step process.
Yep. And then relating to the visualization exercise that we were talking about, next time you find yourself feeling unmotivated, write down the negative consequences of not taking action, or create some negative consequences of not taking action. What would happen if you didn't do this thing? How does that affect other people in your life? How would it make you feel? And then kind of along those same lines, when I was talking to James Clear, he talked about identity-based habits. So identifying with the person you want to become. So if you want to become a writer, what does a writer do? They show up and write. You know, so adding on to this, you know, how would it make you feel if the thing you want to do is to write your book and you want to get up every morning and write for an hour? How would it make you feel to show up and write? It would make you feel like the thing that you want to become. When you don't have enough energy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. It's incredibly frustrating when you know what you need to do and you have the time to get it done, but you just can't muster up enough energy to even get started. But if this is you, you're not alone. We know what it's like to have too much to do and not enough energy to get it all done. But you don't have to stay there. We've helped over 13,000 people make the most of their energy so they can do the things that are important to them and take consistent action on their goals. If you're tired of feeling tired all the time, you feel stuck, or you need a little help defeating the obstacles that stand between you and your ideal future, take just a couple of minutes and complete our online productivity quiz. In just a few minutes of your time, you can get a personalized plan to help you get unstuck and on your way to achieving success without the stress. To take the quiz, just go to theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Again, that URL is theproductivityshow.com/quiz. It's only going to take a couple of minutes, and you'll get results which will show you the biggest areas for improvements, as well as deliver several curated resources to help you overcome the resistance that is keeping you from achieving your full potential. You can also find links to everything that we discussed today in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/220. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us an iTunes review or a star in Overcast. The show is on Twitter as @productivityfm, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.